This is Amerinds. Hi everybody, my name is Arthur, and I'm a gay American, now living in New Zealand. Welcome to episode 2 of my podcast. Thank you, all of you who listened to my first episode, and especially thanks to those who left me a comment or sent me an email. The feedback was obviously good enough that I did another podcast, and I hope to do many more. Always feel free to leave a comment or send me an email. My blog with the show notes is located at amerinds.blogspot.com, and my email address is amerinds@yahoo.com. And Amerinds, by the way, is A-M-E-R-I-N-Z, and it is, as some of you have already worked out, is derived from American in New Zealand. I'm recording this on Friday, April 6th, which is a public holiday in New Zealand, and so it's maybe a bit noisy in the background. My partner is working on a video for work, and my sister-in-law is watching a movie in the other room. My plan is that I'm going to be putting up new podcasts on Friday's New Zealand time, which means that episode 3 will be up in a week from today. I thought this week I would talk about culture, about the nature and structure of New Zealand culture, and some of the things that Americans notice when they come here. The music I played at the beginning was one of New Zealand's national anthems, God Defend New Zealand. The other national anthem is God Save the Queen, but I've actually never heard it used as a national anthem here. The version that I played is by an artist called Frankie Stevens, and you can actually download an MP3 of it if you want from the Ministry for Culture and Heritage. I'll have a link in the show notes. There's several other versions available too, for that matter, along with sheet music, lyrics, the whole everything. But the way he performed it is the way it is always done now, which is that it's sung first in Māori and then in English. And I think that that provides sort of a symbol for the way New Zealand culture is, which is largely bicultural within a multicultural society. And what I mean by that is that at its core, New Zealand is a partnership between Māori and the Crown. And the crown is a symbol, basically. It means all of us, the government, the people, everybody together, symbolized by the crown. It's not literally the crown, and it's not just the government. That partnership was begun in 1840 with the signing of the Treaty of Waitangi, where certain Māori chiefs granted the English colonists the right to be in the country, and in exchange, Queen Victoria extended the rights of British subjects to Māori, which was actually fairly unique in the day, because it wasn't typical for a colonial power to recognize the indigenous peoples as full citizens of the empire. I'm not aware of it having been done any time before 1840, although if somebody does, by all means, set me right on that. But it was certainly a unique approach. And it was a partnership which developed over time, not always in a straight line and not always positive. There was strife along the way, including wars over land in the 19th century. But, you know, things move on, and the partnership was there at the core, and it's become more obvious, I think, as time has passed. There's a lot of Maori words that are in common everyday speech. You'll see Maori artwork in public buildings and public spaces. Maori cultural practices are in common use throughout New Zealand. And you can also see it in the faces of New Zealanders, because intermarriage has always been a feature of New Zealand society, going way back to the beginning. And that in itself, to me, is pretty unique, because there were places in America until really recently where it was illegal for people of the same of different races to marry. So that's sort of the framework, I guess you could say, for how New Zealand culture has developed, this partnership between Māori and non-Māori, who are often called Pākehā. But there have also been many other cultures who have immigrated as well, and they have added their own unique flair here and there, which is also evident in modern-day New Zealand. But since today is a public holiday and it's part of the Easter weekend, it's interesting to me that it wasn't always observed in New Zealand. I saw an interview the other day with Ali Clark, an historian, who's just written a book called Holiday Seasons, Christmas, New Year, and Easter in 19th Century New Zealand. What she said, essentially, is that in the 19th century, Scots immigrants didn't observe Easter or Christmas. And part of that was because of their suspicion of Anglicans and Catholics and religiousness in general, partly because, I mean, even then they knew that Jesus wasn't really born on the 25th of December. But at the same time, the English didn't celebrate New Year's. And of course, now all these days are public holidays. But they've long since lost their religious overtones, I suppose, you could say. But of those days, three of them have a complete trading ban. There's actually another half day, and I'll talk about that in a second. But what that means is that most businesses can't trade on those days. Now, the 3.5 days are Christmas Day, Good Friday, Easter Sunday, and Anzac Day until 1 p.m. Anzac Day commemorates April 25th, 1915, when the Australian and New Zealand troops landed at Gallipoli in World War I. And I'll talk about that a bit more when the day draws closer. But the first three, Christmas Day, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday, are obviously religious holidays. And when I first came here, I thought, oh, this is a bit peculiar. Until I found out that there really was no religious overtones to these days at all. They just happened to have their origin as Christian celebrations. The thing that's odder about them is it's a bit of a patchwork approach. Certain businesses, like hairdressers and video stores, can open on these days, but they're not allowed to sell a product. So, for example, you can go and get your hair done on Good Friday, but they can't sell you any shampoo. You can rent a video on Easter Sunday, but they can't sell you one. Which, I don't know, it strikes me as really a bit odd, a strange distinction. In addition, there are some areas that have an exemption because they're tourist area, like Queenstown, for example. And yet, Rotorua, which is arguably mainly a tourist destination, doesn't have this exemption. So my feeling is that eventually there's going to be some sort of normalization and relaxing of the trading rules. But what is, for me, was particularly interesting on these days is that commercial television stations can't show commercials. So on those 3 days, they might show a promo for an upcoming program or the station ID or what have you, but they can't try to sell you soap or cars or whatever. And so for 3.5 days a year, there's a blessed relief from the constant sell, sell, sell. And I would hate to see that part go, I have to admit. But, sorry, the dog just distracted me for a second there. This is all live, as it happens. Anyway, the point of all that, basically, was that the holidays in New Zealand have evolved along with the people who've been here. And like New Zealand society in general, it has evolved to be fairly tolerant and open and secular. because New Zealand basically is a secular society. However, there are things that Americans tend to notice when they come to New Zealand, and it seems to be almost universal. For example, toilets. Now, New Zealanders are really laid-back people, and they think nothing of saying, excuse me, I'm just going to go to the toilet. And they don't say the men's room or the bathroom, what have you. But the thing that Americans notice is actually the toilets themselves, because on the back are two buttons, one for a half flush and one for a full flush, which, as the name implies, have different amounts of water. Half flush, in case you haven't worked it out, is generally for number ones, and a full flush is for number twos. And I have to admit, I was fascinated by that when I first came here, and the Americans who visited us have been as well. I've seen several blogs where people have posted pictures of these flush buttons because they think they're so amazing. And they're an incredibly practical solution. You use far less water with that system, although our toilets have less water than American toilets do to begin with. But it is something that Americans notice. They tend to notice. And completely unrelated to that are meat pies. Americans notice meat pies. And there's no direct comparison in America that I'm aware of, apart from pot pies. And when I think of that, all I can think of are those horrible frozen things that had a lot of peas and cubes of carrot and gelatinous gravy goo, the horrible things. Well, these are nothing like that. They are absolutely beautiful. And every American who's ever visited me can't get enough of them. And when I first came here, I had one for lunch every single day for months. I'm not kidding. I'm surprised I didn't get as big as a house, but if you ever come to New Zealand, you've got to have a meat pie. Trust me on this. You won't regret it. Unless, of course, you're vegetarian, in which case you'd want a vegetarian pie. But seriously, it is something that all Americans notice. On top of that, of course, is the language. Now, first of all, there's the accent. Now, I have to stop here for a second. I'm talking about accents because one of the things that's come up recently from my doing this podcast and also being on Archer's podcast, archerradio.com, was on his group shows last week and this week. Some people seem to think I have an accent. Now, I don't hear it. I can hear little things that I've deliberately changed, but I don't notice any real difference, but people seem to think that I have developed a bit of an accent or a Kiwi twang or whatever you want to call it. I'd be curious to hear what other people think, but as I say, I don't hear it. Although there are actually people in the family here who say that I've got a mongrel accent, meaning a bit of this and a bit of that, all sort of mixed together, which is probably true. But apart from the accent, there are words that are used here that aren't necessarily used in America, though some of them are common to Britain. Nevertheless, they're words that Americans don't use, or at least not in that way. And a fellow American expat living in Wellington recently put this on her blog called How to Speak Kiwi is the name of the post, and I'll put a link on my blog in the show notes. And she lists various words and their U.S. equivalent. And I thought I'd just read a few of them. Like biscuit means cookie. Boot of a car is a trunk. People will say brilliant when they mean awesome. Oh, that's brilliant. A chili bin is a cooler. In Australia, they're usually called an esky. Chips are French fries, which most Americans would know from fish and chips. Again, I'm just picking a few of these. There's a lot of them. One of the interesting ones is an entree is an appetizer in America, whereas an American entree is called a main. So if you go into a New Zealand restaurant and you look for appetizers, look at entrees, they are appetizers. And it takes a little getting used to, I have to admit. If something is flash, it's fancy or ritzy. Some people say half nine when they mean 9:30. I never do that personally, because I find it too confusing. A panel beater is somebody who works on auto bodies, dents and whatnot. If you're pissed, you could be drunk, or you could be angry, but more likely, I actually haven't heard it used that way. It generally means drunk, or it can mean urine. Like I pissed myself, although it's usually meant jokingly in a phrase, I pissed myself laughing. Or if you're very frightened, oh, I nearly pissed myself. That sort of thing. Some Kiwis will use the word tea to mean dinner. And that's another word that I never use. Because whenever somebody says, well, what did you have for tea last night? I'm thinking, what, Earl Grey or what? So, no, I don't do that. A morning tea is like a coffee break, essentially. She says it's a morning snack, which it is, but a tea break is a coffee break. So if somebody says they have morning tea, very often it might be something that, say, somebody puts on in the workplace for their birthday or they're leaving work, whatever. So those are some examples of some of the word differences that you'll encounter in New Zealand on top of the accent. I personally don't find the accent hard to understand anymore, but it's only probably because I've been here long enough now that I can hear it and understand it. So I thought what I would do now is talk a little bit about some of the comments that I've gotten. I'm not going to read them all. They are on my blog, amarins.blogspot.com. But there's a few points I thought I might want to mention. Actually, Calvin left a comment, among other things, talking about my accent, and said he's surprised I haven't adopted more of it. I actually have deliberately chosen some things on purpose. Like, for example, I say the word tomato instead of tomato. And I'm trying to think what else. Oh, my name. If I'm talking to someone on the phone, I'll usually say something like Arthur rather than Arthur because they won't understand me. But apart from that, I haven't deliberately chosen anything, although I am sometimes aware of using Kiwi slang, and I may use some in this podcast, and if I ever say anything you don't understand, by all means, feel free to ask. Archer wants me to talk more about gay life in New Zealand, and I will do. As a matter of fact, it's one of the topics I'm going to cover in my next podcast. And he also asks if I'm a citizen of New Zealand, or do I still have American citizenship? And the answer is that I'm a dual national, which means I'm a citizen of both countries. New Zealand doesn't require you to renounce your citizenship before you become a citizen, but I would say that they actively permit it. What I mean by that is that they don't actually say, oh, you should keep your citizenship and your nationality and whatnot, but they make it very easy to, and they make it clear that it's permitted in New Zealand and that it's basically a good idea. Because New Zealand is largely a nation of immigrants or their descendants, and I think that there's a feeling here that it's valuable to be citizens of the world, in a way. And they also clearly know that you don't stop being whatever you were just because you've become a New Zealander. And I think it's an immensely practical approach. In America, of course, when you become an American citizen, you have to renounce any foreign citizenships. America doesn't encourage dual nationality, but it's not specifically prohibited either. And becoming a citizen of another country doesn't automatically endanger your U.S. citizenship unless that was your intention. In other words, if you became a citizen of a country specifically so that you were no longer an American citizen. So it is possible to be a citizen of more than one country and to be a citizen of the U.S. and another country. In my case, I would not have become a New Zealand citizen if it did endanger my U.S. citizenship. I made that clear all along. I would only do it if I could still be a U.S. citizen. And I still feel that. I mean, I started the process way back when, before the current occupant was in the White House. And so it clearly had nothing to do with anything political. I wouldn't renounce my citizenship because it's my birthright. I've chosen to become a New Zealand citizen because I felt that when I first came to New Zealand, the country took a chance on me. And after a time, I felt I owed it to the country to make a commitment to it because they allowed me to live here, they allowed me to prosper, and the least I could do was become a citizen. Now, of course, that means I'm entitled to run for parliament, but I don't think that's terribly likely somehow. So it's a long explanation, but basically that's it. Mike Hipp also left a comment, and he runs a website called podcastsoup.net, which is a really good site if you're looking for new podcasts or different podcasts to listen to. He provides a summary of each episode of various podcasts, and I found some new and different ones to listen to because of that, and I really appreciated it. And I encourage you to check it out, because even if you subscribe to all of the podcasts that he summarizes, sometimes you can't keep up with all of them, and it's nice to kind of just read a quick summary of what happened. You know, life is busy. It happens. Tim Carmel left me a message. I know he doesn't pronounce it that way, but that is a Kiwi inflection coming in there. It's difficult for me to use hard R's anymore and whatnot. He also mentioned me specifically in his personal podcast called There's Some Who Call Me Tim. He also does Go Rainbow Radio. Both of which are really good podcasts, and I urge you to check them out. But I thought that was really nice of him to do that, and I certainly thank him for that. I read before a list of words from a blog called Kiora Bitches, which I think is a great name. And she also left a comment on my blog, and she says, "I do want to mention, though, that gay rights here in New Zealand was one of the reasons my husband and I wanted to move here. Clearly, we aren't gay, but equality among humans is important to us, and the bigotry in America was becoming overwhelming." Now, I thought that was a really interesting thing to say. I think that there are quite a few American expats who come here for that sort of thing, the freeness, the openness, the safety of New Zealand. But I thought it was a fascinating thing to say, and I'd actually be curious to hear what other people have to say about it. And also I had comment from Jimmy of Jimmy Chronicles, co-host of Real Men Wear Pink and the Dan and Jimmy Variety Cast, I think it is. And along the way, I've gotten a lot of support, and so I want to give a special thanks to certain other podcasters. First, Calvin from HelloWaffles.blogspot.com, who has been encouraging every step of the way. He himself recently made the move from blogger to podcaster. And that was part of what encouraged me to do it, too, because I saw that it was possible to survive doing it. So I thought, I'll give it a go and see what happens. So Calvin is, I told him he was the midwife to this podcast, so I urge you to go give his podcast a listen. He talks about some really interesting stuff. There's Archer from archerradio.com. He's been encouraging every step of the way. As has JT from Real Men Wear Pink and JT Online. He's put links to his to my podcast in his show notes. And I also got an email from Andrew from isayisayisay.info. And he said something that I thought was really interesting that I'd share with you. He said that his partner and him are big fans of New Zealand. He said, "I have to say that as a Brit, I felt more connected to New Zealand and Australia than I have ever felt in the USA. In America, or the bits I've been to, New York, San Francisco, and Los Angeles, it is deceptive as they speak the same language as me, but the cultural differences are massive." Now, what I thought was interesting about that is I felt kind of the same way about Britain, because I've been to the, all of the British Isles. I absolutely love it. I love visiting there. But to me, the cultural differences were massive, but less so here. So I just thought it was kind of interesting that we had the same perceptions of New Zealand, but coming from totally different, almost opposite perspectives. I'm sure I'm forgetting somebody along the line. And if I have, my sincerest apologies, and I will rectify that in the future. Do check out all of these podcasters that I've just mentioned. I'll have links. Well, they've got links in my blog anyway, but I'll put links in the show notes. And if any of you listeners are or have considered doing a podcast yourselves, by all means, do it. I think you'll find that by and large, podcasters are really eager and willing to help give you advice or what have you. They're a supportive bunch. They're the ones that I've gotten to know are really great guys, and it's certainly something worth doing. Take the plunge. If it doesn't work out, you can always stop. It's not the end of the world, but give it a go. You never know. You might find it's a lot of fun, because it is. Now, the last thing I want to do today is I've just prepared a little list of miscellaneous trivia. There's nothing significant in any of this, but I'm only going to read this on the podcast. I'm not going to post it on my blog. There's no particular reason. It's just that, I don't know, I just thought I would do something in just the podcast. So here's a few bits and pieces. The population of New Zealand, as at 11 a.m. today, Friday the 6th of April, was 4,179,156. The population is estimated to increase by one person every 10 minutes and 7 seconds. A recent poll found that a quarter of New Zealanders fish more than twice a year, but one quarter have also never been fishing. 88% eat fish once a month, and 50% eat it weekly. I'm wondering if they count fish and chips in that. I'm probably in the, what would that be, 22% who eat it less than once a month, I guess. At around $1.52 per liter, petrol at the moment costs the equivalent of $4.13 US per US gallon. So we pay the equivalent of $4.13 a gallon in our money, $1.52 per liter. This week, the current number one song is Crawl by Kiwi rock band Atlas, and that's from the industry's official Top 40 chart. Mika's Grace Kelly is currently number two, and actually has been for a few weeks, I think. The current number one album is Treasure by Hayley Westenra, and the number two album is Loose by Nelly Furtado. The current top five movies in New Zealand, according to flicks.co.nz, are Mr. Bean's Holiday, God help us, number two, Black Sheep, number three, Ghost Rider, number four, Wild Hogs, and number five, Miss Potter. The top videos, according to Blockbuster New Zealand, I should say, I suppose, are Borat, number one, number two, The Departed, number three, Little Miss Sunshine, number four, Jackass, number two, and number five, The Wrong Man. So that's Arthur's list for April 6th. I don't know if I'm going to continue doing this. I just thought I would share little bits and pieces to give you an idea of a bit of a snapshot of New Zealand at the moment. And I think that's it for this week, actually. Next week, as I said before, I'm going to talk a bit about gay life, and maybe a few other bits and pieces. If you have any questions or things that you want me to talk about, feel free to leave a comment on my blog, amarins.blogspot.com, or send me an email to amarins@yahoo.com. And that's it for this week. Thanks for listening, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.